Hi there, listener. Before we dive in, I want you to know that this podcast is AI generated. It's crafted from the topics and principles shared in the Bye Bye Panic Anxiety Recovery Program. And while AI helps bring this content to life, the recovery tools and insights remain rooted in the principles that have helped so many people overcome their symptoms for good. Enjoy the episode.
Okay, let's unpack this. Have you ever been told that anxiety is just, well, something you have to manage or maybe cope with for the rest of your life? That feeling can be really heavy, you know, almost devastating sometimes. It can leave you feeling stuck, like maybe there's no real way out. It's a surprisingly common thing we hear, and it can leave you wondering if true freedom from that really intense anxiety, especially when it feels like it's taken over your daily life, is even possible. Believing that can be a real burden, right? Makes everything feel like an uphill battle.
It is. And it's interesting because that advice, while usually well-intentioned, often stems from very specific, maybe even incomplete understanding of what anxiety actually is. So today we're going to take a deep dive into the whole landscape of how anxiety is understood and treated, particularly in healthcare. We'll explore why so many professionals might offer management as the main solution, the only solution sometimes. And then crucially, we want to reveal a different perspective, a more empowering one actually, about truly overcoming anxiety, not just endlessly coping. Our goal here is to share some insights from recent chats we've had with doctors, therapists, but also, importantly, with people who've actually navigated this whole journey themselves. We really hope to shed some light on a clear path towards full recovery, towards lasting freedom for you.
You know, it really is striking. We hear this so often. If you go to the doctor for, say, a broken bone or maybe a simple infection, things tend to get sorted out pretty quickly, right? There's a clear diagnosis, steps, a recovery path.
There's a protocol.
Exactly. But when it's anxiety, especially that intense kind that hits your body just as hard as your mind, well, getting clear answers or finding help that actually lasts, that can feel so much harder. It leaves you feeling really frustrated, maybe misunderstood. We've heard countless stories, haven't we? People experiencing really intense physical symptoms like a racing heart, dizziness, maybe shortness of breath, even numbness.
Yeah, scary stuff.
Totally. And they go through all these tests, blood work, EKGs, brain scans, you name it, only to be told, well, there's nothing medically wrong. All your tests came back normal. So what does that really tell us about how anxiety is typically handled in the medical world, especially when it shows up with these often baffling physical signs?
Yeah, that's a really critical point. When doctors say the lab work is fine, it's often because their immediate focus, and you know it has to be, is on urgent medical issues, things that show up clearly on tests. I mean, think about it. Doctors are under enormous time pressure. They're basically putting out fires all day long, dealing with a huge range of acute physical problems that need immediate attention.
Right. The priority is ruling out the life-threatening stuff first.
Exactly. So from their perspective, their job is to find and fix those concrete, measurable health problems. If the tests are clear on that front, the next step is often a referral to a mental health professional, usually a therapist. And this approach, well, it really highlights how fragmented our healthcare system often is. You have bodily issues treated here, mind issues treated over there.
Like different specialists who don't always connect the dots.
Precisely. Like an endocrinologist for hormones, a cardiologist for the heart, a neurologist for the brain. There isn't always a clear pathway when symptoms kind of blur those lines between mind and body.
Okay, yeah, I can definitely see how that happens in practice, especially with how incredibly busy doctors are, the sheer number of things they need to know about. But then, say you do get that referral to therapy, sometimes that can also feel like it's not quite hitting the nail on the head, you know, particularly when you're still feeling those really difficult physical sensations, that heart's still racing, or maybe those overwhelming thoughts just looping and looping. So what's the difference typically in how therapy approaches anxiety, and why might it still leave some people feeling like something crucial is being missed on their path to really feeling better?
Well, looking at the bigger picture, many therapists are trained to focus on anxiety mainly as a mind problem. So they often use strategies like talk therapy, exploring past stuff, thought patterns, or they teach coping skills like deep breathing or mindfulness techniques.
Which can be helpful, right, in the moment.
Oh, absolutely. Those tools can be very helpful short-term for certain situations. They provide valuable skills. But, and this is a subtle point, they can sometimes unintentionally reinforce the idea that anxiety is something you just always have to manage rather than something you can truly overcome. This is partly because standard therapy training, often based on manuals like the DSM, that's the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, the main reference book for diagnoses.
Yeah.
Well, it often frames anxiety as potentially a chronic condition.
Ah, okay.
So the framework itself might lean towards management.
To some extent, yes. But here's the thing. When you're dealing with really intense stuff like panic attacks that feel like heart attacks, or constant health worries, intrusive thoughts you can't shake, or those weird feelings like depersonalization.
That feeling of being detached. Exactly. Detached from yourself, or derealization, where the world feels foggy or unreal. They're really at this intersection of mind and body. It's not just one or the other. So a purely medical approach might miss the mind part, and a purely talk therapy approach might not fully address the intense physical side. Neither in isolation might capture the full picture. And that leaves people feeling like their very real physical symptoms are being kind of neglected.
Yeah.
Even while they're trying hard to work on the mental side.
Okay. Right. So we've talked about how healthcare can be a bit fragmented, you know, specialists for this, specialists for that, and how general approaches to anxiety sometimes feel incomplete, maybe focusing more on coping than on full recovery. But here's where I think it gets really interesting and maybe offers a real shift in perspective for anyone listening. What if there are actually two quite different ways to understand anxiety? And maybe one of them isn't really being addressed by that common advice to just manage or cope with it forever.
This is such a crucial distinction. Honestly, getting this can change everything for someone who's struggling. On one hand, there's anxiety as an emotion. This is normal. It's temporary. It's just part of being human.
Right, feeling nervous before speech or maybe angry about something unfair.
Exactly. And once the situation passes or you process it, the emotion fades. That's healthy. And that's the kind of anxiety many general practitioners or therapists are well-equipped to help you navigate everyday stress, normal worries. But then there's anxiety as a state. This is totally different. This is when anxiety becomes debilitating. It's constant. It produces those intense physical symptoms we talked about, overwhelming thoughts, feelings of disconnection.
Like derealization.
Mm-hmm. Derealization, depersonalization.
Yeah.
This ongoing heightened state. The term for it is nervous system sensitization.
Mm-hmm.
You can almost think of your nervous system like a smoke detector that's become way too sensitive. It's gone haywire.
So it's not just reacting to real danger.
Right. It's blaring alarms at the tiniest thing, burnt toast. A flicker of a candle, maybe even nothing at all. It's just stuck in high alert, creating this constant internal alarm state. And this chronic state is profoundly different from a normal, healthy emotional response.
Yeah.
But it's often not widely discussed or, frankly, fully understood by many general doctors or even some therapists who aren't specialized in this specific area.
Wow. Okay. So let me see if I got this right. When someone tells you, oh, it's just something you'll always have to cope with, they might genuinely be thinking about anxiety as that normal emotion that ebbs and flows.
That's often the case, yes.
But you, the person listening, you might be experiencing it as this persistent, life-altering state that's completely taken over.
Exactly.
That must be incredibly frustrating and confusing, too, because the advice just doesn't match the lived reality.
It's like being given, I don't know, advice for a common cold when you feel like you have pneumonia.
Yeah. It leaves you feeling totally misunderstood, maybe even hopeless, just stuck in it and desperately looking for something that actually works.
Precisely. And many experts, they are specialized in managing anxiety as an emotion. They're genuinely trying to help based on what they know. So when someone comes in who's living in that hypersensitized state and they ask, how do I make this stop? How do I make it go away completely? They're often met with, well, it's an emotion. Emotions don't just disappear entirely. You learn to live alongside it.
Oh, that sounds crushing.
It can be absolutely devastating, especially for someone dealing with chronic panic, constant physical symptoms that make daily life impossible, or maybe severe agoraphobia, where leaving the house feels terrifying. It reinforces this belief that their intense, overwhelming experience is permanent, that there's no real hope for getting their old life back, for feeling normal again. And this really underscores why anxiety, particularly in this state form, is actually a very specialized field. It requires additional understanding, additional training that often isn't part of the standard curriculum for most general therapists or doctors. They tend to know a little bit about a lot of things, understandably, but maybe not enough deep knowledge about this specific mechanism to guide someone all the way to full recovery.
Okay, so that naturally leads to the big question, doesn't it? What does all this actually mean for someone listening right now who desperately wants to move beyond just managing anxiety? Someone who wants to truly overcome it, to get back to living that full, unburdened life they remember. If coping strategies aren't always enough for this anxiety state, which sounds like this constant, exhausting internal battle, what is the path forward? It really feels like there's a key piece missing from the conversation for so many people.
Yes, and it's a critical point. If the usual advice often focuses on short-term fixes or maybe reinforces this idea you just have to manage it forever, how do you break free? How do you actually heal? The core principle, the missing piece for overcoming anxiety as a state, is nervous system desensitization.
Desensitization, okay.
Yeah. It's essentially about retraining your body and mind to feel safe again, to calm down, like gently teaching a muscle that's been stuck in a painful cramp how to relax. Now, this isn't necessarily about digging endlessly into childhood trauma, although that can be relevant for some people's overall journey. It's more focused on the now. It's about understanding how our current behaviors, our beliefs, our responses to the anxiety itself, how those things are actually often unknowingly keeping that sensitized state going.
Like how we react to the symptoms.
Exactly. So for instance, it might mean learning to stop constantly checking if the symptom is there and instead practicing just allowing the sensation to exist without labeling it as dangerous. Or maybe shifting from fighting intrusive thoughts to just observing them, like clouds passing by without getting hooked.
Less resistance.
Less resistance, more allowance. And it also involves gently, consistently showing your nervous system through experience that the situations or sensations you fear aren't actually life-threatening. It's these small internal shifts practiced consistently over time that start the desensitization process. And once you really understand how to allow symptoms without fighting them, and you learn how to self-regulate your nervous system again, you start to expand your window of tolerance. You feel safer inside. Then the nervous system naturally starts to calm down. And often that's when the physical symptoms, the intrusive thoughts, the derealization, they start to diminish or even disappear completely. The key here is that this means you don't need to be reliant on external coping tools like supplements or specific breathing techniques just to get through the day. You regain your body's natural ability to find balance.
That sounds incredibly hopeful. Just knowing that those intense symptoms can actually fade, that they don't have to be permanent, and that you can get back that sense of internal control, that's huge. But when you're deep in it, when you're going through something so intense, feeling so overwhelmed and maybe weirdly disconnected, it can feel intensely lonely. Like you're the only one on earth going through this bizarre experience.
Oh, absolutely. The isolation is profound.
So how does that feeling of isolation fit into this recovery journey? Is finding connection, finding community part of this specialized approach too?
That's a fantastic question. And the answer is a resounding yes. The key insight here is that the healing journey is massively strengthened by connection, by a sense of shared experience. So many people in specialized recovery programs and even therapists who really get this distinction, they recognize this gap in traditional care and they find immense benefit from being part of a supportive community.
Seeing you're not alone.
Exactly. Imagine seeing other people who are also on this specific path to recovery. Maybe some are a bit further along than you. And they're openly sharing their progress, talking about their breakthroughs. It does something powerful. It normalizes your experience. It shows you in a very real, tangible way that overcoming this state is absolutely possible. Other people are doing it. It helps shift that deep-seated belief from something is fundamentally broken in me and I'm alone to something more like, okay, there was just a gap in the information I had. I didn't understand the state part, but now I can learn what to do to heal.
That's a huge shift.
It's transformative. This community aspect, it fosters this incredible sense of hope. It reinforces the belief that you too can fully recover and really live a life free from the constant shadow of anxiety. It's a vital reminder. You are not walking this path by yourself.
So wrapping this up, what does all of this mean for you listening right now as you navigate your own journey with anxiety? I think this deep dive has really shown us that anxiety isn't always just that fleeting emotion you manage day to day. For many, it's become this deeply impacting state of nervous system sensitization. It affects everything, your body, your thoughts, your sense of reality. And understanding that crucial difference, that distinction, truly opens the door, not just to coping, but to potentially profoundly overcoming it and getting your life back. It helps clarify why maybe some traditional advice hasn't quite resonated or worked long term. And it offers this new perspective that feels genuinely full of hope for a real lasting change.
Absolutely. And zooming out, looking at the bigger picture, the journey to overcome anxiety when it's become a state, it isn't usually an overnight fix. Let's be real about that. It requires specific knowledge about how sensitization works, consistent effort in applying new responses, and definitely a willingness to learn different ways of relating to your internal experience, your thoughts, your sensations. But, and this is the crucial takeaway, it is profoundly, completely possible to move beyond this state. Probably the most important next step on this path, if this resonates with you, is seeking guidance. Finding someone who truly understands nervous system sensitization, someone who has a proven framework specifically for this kind of recovery.
Someone specialized.
Exactly. This may be someone who's been through it themselves and recovered fully, or a therapist or coach who specializes specifically in this area beyond general anxiety management. The key is you don't have to navigate this complex landscape alone. Finding that specialized guidance and tapping into that community support we talked about, that's really key to moving from just coping, just getting by, to confidently living a full, unburdened life again. A life where anxiety no longer calls the shots.